This is a Power 98.7 podcast. Now we're talking. Subscribe to Power 98.7 podcasts in iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. There's more on power987.co.za.
That's what it's about this Wednesday's Wheels on Wednesday. It's the nostalgia of the train journey. We've definitely seen the Minister of Transport going all out to promote the idea of train travel, to promise a new kind of white paper on rail in the transport portfolio, to get more money invested in the upgrade of rail infrastructure and perhaps even the procurement of locomotives to get more people to think about railway travel. And so today we're going to talk about that particular aspect of the transport industry, both from the commuter side, but also from the leisure traveller side. We're joined by David Williams, who's the former deputy editor of the Financial Mail and a senior researcher at the Brenthurst Foundation. David, good morning.
Good morning to you.
And thank you so much. You seem enthusiastic about travelling by rail.
Well, I started off, I come from a railway family.
Okay.
Grew up, my dad was a railwayman, and we lived in those little railway houses that were next to the tracks
all over the country,
the houses. And I used to wake up to the sound of the trains going past. So I've always loved them and always travelled on them when I can.
Yeah.
And so I love trains, and I'm very sad what's happened to passenger train travel in South Africa.
So what has happened? Because, yes, we know it on a very sort of a superficial level. Security's been an issue. The infrastructure's dilapidated. But is it really about what's happened to the trains or more about what's happened to society evolving and loving cars and loving the independence of a car and the status of owning a car?
Yeah, you make a very good point there. And obviously, over the whole of the 20th century, there was a steady move from rail, which was really the only kind of transport apart from walking and horseback. And then the motor car came, buses came, and so there was a steady migration. But there was still very much a place for the train. And if you look at countries in Europe and America, there is still enormous demand for train travel, particularly commuters on the one hand, so getting to work in the morning in the big cities. In India, they have a very efficient, hugely successful public transport train network, for example.
Yeah.
Europe has very good trains. There is certainly demand. And then, of course, there's the long-distance demand, which you refer to as well. And in places like Australia and the United States, where there are long distances to travel, as there are in South Africa, there's a leisure market. So you're not aiming to get somewhere quickly and efficiently, you're aiming to enjoy yourself. So both those markets remain very strong in the rest of the world. And in some ways, rail has made a comeback, for example, from the airways. So the fast trains in Europe, for example, and Japan, they will get you from city A to city B faster than the airplane will. And you're in the center of the city when you get there, whereas the airports are usually far out
in
flat areas. So there's enormous demand. It is, in many ways, still the age of the train, except in South Africa. So, you know, we are very much the exception here, and there's a lot of reasons for that, and it isn't recent. It goes back a long way. It's to do with corruption on the one hand. It's to do with a lack of security and theft, poor policy on the part of government, to the point where we actually have no long-distance trains at all. And this used to be one of the great passenger train networks in the world.
So I love the way you've painted the picture of, you know, you go to some countries and the train is just the preferred mode of public transportation. It's efficiency. It gets you right into the center of the city, all of those things. So in South Africa, that would be true were our cities different, I think. Were our cities all concentrated in a kind of a central CBD, but it seems to me like our cities are flat. And so there's distances from moving from one neighborhood or borough to another. And so you'd need more kilometers of track. when there's spatial planning, how can they plan to incorporate rail into the strategy? And I'm talking here, you know, Pretoria and Joburg is technically 60 kilometers away.
Yeah.
But with evolution of time, Pretoria and Joburg are almost one thing.
Yeah, but the distance is still there and people will still need to travel along the way. So if you look at the Gautrain, which is really a good response to this big metropolitan area. I mean, as you say, in 10, 15 years, there won't be any space between Johannesburg and Pretoria. It'll be like London, just one vast urban area. Mm-hmm. But people still need to get around. So the Gautrain is a very good step in the right direction, but it's a small step and it's a very expensive step.
Right.
If you look at the planning that went on, I mean, if you look at South Africa's commuter rail networks, the big cities and big urban areas, so what used to be called the PWV, Pretoria, Witwatersrand, Vereeniging, Gauteng essentially, had a very big and very efficient rail network. I mean, Soweto, of course, and this makes it even more important in South Africa, because of apartheid, people were forced to live away from their places of work.
Yeah.
And therefore, the train became even more important. So if you look at Soweto, there is a four-track mainline commuter network between Johannesburg and Soweto. And this was an extraordinarily busy network, carrying millions and millions of passengers every year, cheaper than the buses, cheaper than the taxis, safer than the taxis, certainly. And people used the trains to get to and from work in a reliable, generally efficient and reliable way. Some issues with safety as the 20th century came to a close, and then more issues with safety and crime became a thing on the train.
Mm-hmm.
But the point is, the network is there. I mean, we don't have to plan new railway lines. They're there. They link Pretoria, Johannesburg. They link Johannesburg with the Soweto.
Mm.
They link the east and the west, the old gold mining towns along the Witwatersrand, Springs to Randfontein. These trains ran literally every few minutes in peak times. And in other times, you could get a train every 20 minutes, every half hour. They were on time. Generally, they worked. As I say, in latter years, there were some issues with being unsafe on the trains. But these trains are not running or hardly running at all now. The overhead wires that carry the electricity to the locomotives, in many places, they've just been gone. They've been stolen. They've disappeared. And it's going to take billions of rand to fix this.
So, on the one hand, is the issue of reincorporating trains in the commuter network, the people who need to get from work to home, home to work, school and back.
Yes.
And that's what the minister is trying to promote at the moment. What do you make of kind of this revitalization, reinvigoration of commuter rail, and what do they need to do to get it right? And I know safety is a huge issue, is a huge concern for many commuters.
Well, the minister seems to speak as if none of this has happened before. I mean, and I think Minister Mbalula takes every opportunity to make promises, but there's not much action. I mean, what he is urging was actually normal life 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Kids used to travel to school in the rural areas. Kids would catch a train to go to school. There might be one or two trains a day in some places, but they would catch the train. So what has to be done is, first of all, you've got to fix the network. You've got to stop people stealing parts of it. I mean, in Cape Town, they have this main commuter line from the center of Cape Town out to the Cape Flats, Khayelitsha, Langa, and those suburbs, Montahierville and so on. Now, that was, again, a very busy network and very important to Cape Town because, you know, Cape Town, there's the sea, there's the mountain, there's not much space, there's terrible traffic jams. They can't move the mountain. You know, they can't build new highways in Cape Town. They need the trains, and the railway lines are there for them to use. Now, there are approximately 2,000 people living on the tracks. They've occupied those tracks during the COVID time when no trains were running. Infrastructure has been stolen. Stations have been destroyed. So now the people who are, I mean, PRASA, the passenger rail agency, is trying to fix things after an era of great corruption, which has all come out in the Zondo Commission. Hundreds of pages of the corruption that went on while the railways were being mismanaged.
Yeah.
But now Mbalula has said we want to fix them, and I think he really does want to and is trying. But the guys who are fixing the infrastructure on the Cape Flats lines are actually being chased away by armed gangs.
Wow.
There's a security issue now. There are stories, I have no idea if they're true, that the taxi interests who would like to keep the trains not running so that they get all the traffic in the taxis. There are gangs who like to steal the infrastructure. I mean, whole railway lines, the actual steel of the railway lines gets taken. And so they're finding it very difficult to restore things without them being stolen and broken again. But you said something earlier which I thought was very important. There's a bigger picture here. Part of it is the road, you know, from the rail to the road thing. But the bigger picture is we are a society which can't protect its people and can't protect its assets in the sense of power stations, railway lines, buildings. The government has proved unable to do this. And both Transnet and PRASA, to give them their due, they've said, look, we can't do this on our own. Yeah. We can't protect people in isolation when the whole society is defenseless, apparently, against crime. So that's the first step, is to get security. And then it's an enormous amount of money to fix things. But the other thing, sorry, before I just need to make this point before I forget. Mbalula and others with the goods and freight traffic, they say we need to get the traffic back from the road to rail. But the trouble is the market shifts. So you have a grain farmer, just to talk about freight for a moment. And over the years, rail carried a lot of grain, millies, and they carried coal, fuel. They're things that go on rail because they're high volume, very heavy, very good. Now, those guys have changed. They've got road infrastructure. They don't have railway sidings anymore. It's going to be very difficult to get them back just because you say they must come back. And the same with the commuters. They've found new ways of getting to work. It's going to be very difficult to get them back.
Right. Let us bring in Misela Nhlapo into the conversation. Thank you very much for joining us. Misela is the CEO of the African Rail Industry Association. Thank you so much for your time. What do you make of the state of rail and trains in South Africa?
Good morning and good morning to your listeners. But I want to tell you a romantic story and where I come from as Misela. My dad was a ticket examiner, and he met my mother on the train. So when you talked about the train, so that there's a whole story to it. And I just wanted to say that I'm a product of the railway.
That love story. But you know what? David Williams, who's with us, is also a product of the railway lines. His father worked for the railway lines. They lived close to the tracks. He was woken up by the sound of trains every day. So much of the existence of our two guests is linked to the railway lines.
Lorato, what is intractable problems are solved in surprising ways. And I think that we need to act fast. The policy is there, it was approved in March, and it has been gazetted. What we need to do as society is to not waste time, but implement. We are working with the Department of Transport to ensure that the implementation of third-party access. I mean, can you imagine if government had public-private partnership with ZCC, where you would move the commuters off the N1 and have a line running to ZCC and beyond. But also, I would just want to come to a point of, you know, there's a corruption that is linked to post-democracy. And in the report that was commissioned by the Prentice Foundation, it says, contrary to some perception, our railways decline started long before the ANC took over government in 1994. It is the result of a perfect and sustained storm of misguided policy, poor strategy, incoherent administrative structures, blurred reporting lines, managerial incompetence, skills shortages, corruption, unfair road competition, and criminal neglect of insecurity and safety. So to put a perspective to it, during my father's time, we had problems already, the ones that we see that are present.
Okay.
But we work with the department. We are not going to be bystanders and not work with government.
Okay.
We work with government its implementation, we will make sure that they are not left with a plan. We as private sector, we're saying that third-party access, he talks about freight. We are already doing studies with different forestry association. They say 70% of their freight is on road.
Okay.
But if third-party access, as envisaged in the policy, were to be implemented today, that 70% on the road will move to rail, and we will save. We will not have more Pongola victims.
Yeah. Let's just mull over that. And when we come back, can we just talk briefly about the romance on the rails? You've both got a romantic story to tell.
Wheels on Wednesday.
It's those train wheels on those sleeper tracks that we're talking about right now. So, Ms. Stella Ntlapo is the CEO of the African Rail Industry Association, and David Williams is the former deputy editor of the Financial Mail and a senior researcher at the Brenthurst Foundation. So, David, we were talking earlier on, yes, we understand rail is important for the commute, it's important for freighting and moving goods to market in a in an advanced economy like South Africa, but rail, could it be the way to travel for people who just want a more relaxed pace at life? And do we have those leisure options beyond the blue train?
Yes, we do. The blue train, of course, was once renowned and probably perhaps still is as one of the great trains, perhaps the greatest luxury train in the world. And of course, Robos Rail, which is a South African creation by a South African entrepreneur, got old coaches and put them together. I mean, he's traveled from Cape Town to Tanzania to Zanzibar. So there are these luxury options in Europe and in South Africa. But, you know, we had a very good long-distance train service, which wasn't luxury, but was very good. And I grew up, my father would get a free, I think all employees of the railways in those days got a free pass once a year to go on holiday. I mean, there were many people who didn't have a car. So you went by train, and otherwise you walked. And I remember the most wonderful thing of waking up early in the morning and you hear the steam engine up ahead at the end of the train, and you hear the wheels going along the iron of the steel of the tracks, and the click, 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 click,
yeah.
The sun coming up, always moving, and you look out the window and there you've got this natural TV of the world going past.
Yeah, beautiful.
It was fantastic. And I think one of the things was that you trust it. It was rather like the pilot of a jumbo jet. The driver of the train had 400 people behind him on the train, and you trusted him to get you through the night. It was wonderful, especially for a child. But for adults, just think, you don't have to keep your eyes on the road. You can eat, you can drink, you can look out the window, you can meet people. I think it's a fantastic way to travel without the discomfort of aeroplanes.
Ms. Ella, your romantic travel stories, you know, the kind of travel on the Orient Express, fall in love the way your parents did.
Yes, but the recent ones with the Comrades Marathon, there was a special train from Joburg to travel to Durban for the Comrades Marathon.
Wow.
And I think that that we must give it to Prasa for having thought of that and implementing it. Makufe as well, they normally have a train to go there. And that talks to tourism, that talks to romance, again, that talks to, the economy around the area where Makufe is, that it will boom at that particular time. But not only that, when you bring romance in it, the men and women of this country should get their dignity back, because you can have romance when you have dignity. And dignity will be through ensuring that we build a local industrial capacity. When I have my dignity, I have a disposable income, I can use the railroad.
Yeah.
Personally, I'm tired of driving. I know I'm a good driver, but I'm tired of driving. I want to use the railways. You know, I listen to David, I get goosebumps. I mean, the passion that comes out. And, you know, I had thought that you would play Huma Sekela Stimela song. That gives me goosebumps. We want the railways to work.
Yeah.
And the infrastructure that is vandalized. Guys, look at the riots in July last year.
Yeah.
The people protected the infrastructure.
Yeah.
We see the taxi drivers that surrounded Maponya Mall. Yeah. So the infrastructure, it will be saved by the people, people that will benefit from the railway.
Right, okay. We have to leave it there. Everything about it, the important stuff about railways being a source of employment linked to the logistics and freighting industry, the heartbeat of the economy, allowing people to get to work safely, cheaply. But it's the infrastructure that matters. It's the security issue that matters. It's the availability of those tracks that matter. And then, of course, once all of that is done, all the beautiful, fluffy stuff can happen. It's that handsome guy traveling to work, seated next to you. And then everything else that matters comes after that. Thanks for that conversation, David Williams and Marcela Ntlapo.
You've been listening to a Power 98.7 podcast. For more podcasts, visit power987.co.za or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.